Good morning, everyone. Good morning.
Morning, Tom.
How are you, Matt? I'm not hearing myself through my headphones.
Well, there's a little silver knob right to your right there. You can just adjust the volume to what makes sense for you. How's that?
I'm hearing it meow.
There you go.
Very good.
All right.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to The Morning Voice. I am Tom Moulton. I got the technical difficulties out of the way, and we're ready for a brand new show from 7 to 9 this morning. I'm here every Thursday, but Monday through the weekdays, you get a different host, and Dr. Ackerley will be on tomorrow, and he'll talk all about the University of Arizona. But today, we are going to go for a hike. What do you think, Matt? Are you ready?
I am got a little water bottle with me, so I am ready to go. My hiking shoes.
Matt is an avid hiker. I have been known to hike around Tucson Mountain Park many, many years ago. I went exploring because I worked at Old Tucson. And on the radio right now is Tim Vimmerstedt, who also worked at Old Tucson. Good morning, Tim.
Hey, good morning, Tommy.
And also on the phone is going to be our hiking expert. She's going to take us for the next three segments all around Pima County. We may even go through little parts of the Arizona Trail. And good morning. Our guest today is Serena. Serena, how do you pronounce your last name?
It's Serena Rana. Thanks for having me on the show, Tom.
Okay, well, thank you for being on. And when Serena isn't writing a book, she's also hiking or being involved in one of the new hiking trails here in town. Serena, we're going to just take out about 2 minutes from Tim, and he's going to talk about some of the events and festivals that are coming up. And then we're going to really get into talking about what you've been involved in, which has been quite a bit with the hiking trails. And then you wrote this wonderful new book that we want to talk about. So, Tim, go ahead and tell us a little bit about those three festivals.
All right. Well, our top event, of course, is the Pima County Fair starting today through the 27th. You and I have often gone out to the fair and enjoyed it. Free concerts with admissions every night, rides, rodeo, wild rides, but also they have a kiddie land and all of the great fair food. My favorite part of going to the fair, all the things that we're not supposed to eat.
Yes, you can't get funnel cakes anywhere else, I think, other than the fair.
No, I haven't seen them. I've looked. And
right.
Then
that would be for after the hike.
Yeah, yes.
That would be
if you have too much.
And then at Team Air and Space on April 19th, they're having a fly a drone day. And from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. on the 19th is the beginner class, where you get to build your own drone. Each family will receive one drone kit that they'll be able to build and experiment with different drone shapes, learn the basics of drone flight, and get to train on an indoor obstacle course. And that first session is recommended for kids 6 to 10, for anyone who has never flown a drone before. And then at 1 p.m., they start the intermediate class, and you'll receive a drone to fly. You connect it to a phone or to a provided remote, and that's for recommended ages 11 or those 11 and up, or those who have some drone experience. So to find out more about these great events going on, I encourage you to go to visittucson.org. And thisistucson.com to find out more about these and other festivals in Southern Arizona.
Well, thank you, Tim. As you know, we'll be at the fair starting today from 3 to 7 at booth 51 and 52. And joining us will be the Tucson Auto Museum. A little bit of excitement yesterday getting the car into the booth. It was an electric car, and the electric car ran out of juice. So we had to push it in, but we got it in, and we're all set to go. And the fair opens at 3 o'clock, and we're going to be in Thurber Hall. So we look forward to seeing you there. Now back to our program today. We're going to talk all about our wonderful hiking trails, and we have, I believe, probably one of the best experts around the community, because she's been directly involved in the big hiking trail, I guess the multi-use trail. Is that what they call the loop now, Serena?
Yes, it's a multi-user trail.
Which means
there's many different ways that you can enjoy it.
Yeah, which means as you're walking along this trail, you don't have to worry about cars, but you do have to worry about the horses. Do you see many horses on the loop?
Occasionally, you see horses, you see plenty of bikes, you see the occasional rollerblader, people on skates. It's such a great way to get out, and one of the best parts is that so many people in town have the loop right near their door.
Rollerblading, is that still around?
Well, that's why I said rollerblading or skates. I guess I'm dating myself. I am a 90s rollerblader kid, so.
Well, I did much better on rollerblades than I did on ice skates and the old skates that had four little wheels. So I really actually had a lot of fun rollerblading back in the day. God knows where those rollerblade skates are now, but and my wife and I enjoyed rollerblading, and we didn't really have a place like the Chuck Huckleberry Loop. We had to go into a skating, place, and I don't know if those are still around or not. But we're here to talk about really the hiking trails, and certainly there's lots and lots of news that always going around about the Chuck Huckleberry Loop and how it was voted one of the best trails according to U.S. Today. And but Serena, you and I had a mutual friend, Steve Anderson, who worked for Pima County Natural Resources Parks and Rec, and I certainly miss this gentleman. He was always involved, always engaged with anything we did when I was at the county under the attractions. And he also many, many years ago wrote a book about the hiking trails. And what's uniquely, the same about the two of you, it seems in my mind, but correct me if I'm wrong, is that both of you were not only reporting in a sense on the hiking trails, you were engaged in the development and actually the execution of the hiking trails. And you go and you talk about that. So how did you get your start in getting very involved in the hiking trails around Pima County?
So my story is a little different than most. I didn't grow up hiking and, backpacking and things like that. I grew up in the Chicago suburbs, and we went to the mall. And so it wasn't until I moved out here, as many do from the Chicago area. I came out here in 1994 to attend the University of Arizona, sight unseen, I might add. So it was like being dropped on an alien planet. But it wasn't until then that I learned about hiking and things like that. And actually in 1997, I was walking across the street and I was hit by a small pickup truck.
Oh, no.
And for years, I was very, very sick. I have a chronic pain condition called fibromyalgia. And so I was very sick. I was actually bedridden at a time. And one of the things that really helped me to get out of that was to start taking walks with my dog. And my dog, Zeus, was always up for it. He was a big, giant German Shepherd mix. And at first, I could only do, little walks around the block because I was very, like I said, I was very ill and I was very weak. But I noticed that when I was outside, that I didn't really think about how much pain or fatigue I was in. And that led me to start hiking smaller trails like the Canyon Loop at Catalina State Park is one of my favorites. It remains one of my favorites, and it's in the new book, Urban Trails Tucson. But as I realized, like, that just, it kept my mind off of things. It made me feel better. It made me feel stronger. It gave me confidence. And I just wanted more and more of it. And so that's where the hiking came from. And it's just kind of grown from there. I started hiking, you know, harder trails like Finger Rock and, you know, the, you know, Front Range Catalina hikes, Mount Wrightson, things like that. But then I was on a walk in Oracle one day, and I saw this sign at American Flag Trailhead, and it was this Arizona trail sign, and it said, there's going to be a trail. This was back in, like, 2007. There's going to be a trail that goes all the way across the state. And I thought to myself, that's outrageous. How could anybody walk across the state? There's no water. There's, you know, it's like, there's all these mountains and whatever else. And so that hike actually led me to look into the Arizona Trail. And that completely changed my life. Because at the time when I was planning on hiking the Arizona Trail, I wanted to get more involved. And so somebody told me that there was a group that was doing trail building, because the trail at the time wasn't even complete. It didn't get completed until 2011. And so I began volunteering on this trail crew that would meet during the week. It was a bunch of retired guys that were all in their, you know, 60s to even 80s. And then there was me in my 30s and learned so much from those guys and learned how to build a trail, learned how to maintain a trail, which also helps you learn how to find trails when you're out there. And so I decided that I was going to thru-hike the Arizona Trail in 2008, and then the recession happened, and so I had to change it to a section hike. And so in between the, like, 2008 and 2009, over a period of 15 months, I section-hiked the Arizona Trail, mostly solo, and made it all the way across the state. And it was, go ahead.
Serena, we're going to continue this story when we come back from the break. We're going to pay a few bills, and this is The Morning Voice, and we're here with Serena Rana, and we're going to learn more about her new book, Urban Hiking, and all the other kind of things that are going on in the hiking universe here on Pima County. We'll be right back. That's what you call looping the music, right, Matt?
I tell you, it snuck away from me. Yeah. I don't know what happened.
Serena is our guest today, Serena Rana, and she just wrote a brand new book called Urban Trails Tucson, and we're going to talk more about that in just a few moments. But good morning again, Serena. Welcome to kind of our, we have four different areas that we're going to talk about, and one of the ones that you were really talking about that we, before we went into the break, was the Arizona Trail. And having been in charge of the attractions in Pima County from about 2001 and 2017 or 18 or so, whenever I went to Colossal Cave, I looked up and there was the Arizona Trail. And you were a pretty big part of that, weren't you?
Yeah. So after I finished my initial hike of the Arizona Trail in 2009, I was just so excited about finding something so incredible. It's such a wonderful project for the state. And so I really dived into volunteering and I started giving presentations about it, which led them to approach me about becoming the Gateway Community Liaison. And so from 2011 to 2016, I actually traveled across the state to the different gateway communities and develop this gateway community program. I also helped with marketing and worked with Steve Anderson on that project as well. And I was just, you know, it was such a wonderful thing to approach people that had no idea that the trail went right by their town to see it now, and people always talk about how well taken care of the hikers, bikers, and equestrians are in these towns.
Well, so I understand. Really, I remember Steve telling me that the Arizona Trail is completely, or mostly, I should say, maintained by volunteers.
Yep. Yeah. And building it was one of the biggest volunteer projects in Arizona's history. And so I was just really excited to be a part of that. I was actually, one of my greatest memories is I was part of the crew that built the last connecting piece above the Gila River. And I will never forget that day. That was in 2011.
Well, happy memories for sure. And clearly, it's a great way to stay fit. We have a fellow in Rotary. It's the club here in downtown Tucson, and he talks every week when I see him about the new trails that he has explored. And he's also, we have a committee about trails, and he's always going on different trails. Now, he's gone on trails around the world as mm-hmm. well, and he brags mostly about the trails in Pima County. Now, how did it come about that you started writing about the trails?
So I've had a blog called Serena's Wanderings ever since, I think 2008 is when I started it. And so I would just write about the different adventures that I took, whether it was trails in Pima County or hiking in the Grand Canyon or volunteer work. And so that's actually how Mountaineers Books is the publisher of Urban Trails Tucson. And their editor, Emily, was on a visit to Tucson to visit her brother. And Urban Trails is a series, so they have like Urban Trails Portland, Urban Trails San Francisco. So it's got books in a bunch of the different towns in the U.S. and also in Canada. And so she was in Tucson, and she was like, gosh, this would be a great, great community for an Urban Trails book. And so she Googled hiking in Tucson, and my blog came up. And so it was really fortuitous that, you know, all of this writing that I'd done then, caught the eye of Mountaineers Books. And that's how I ended up writing my second book, Urban Trails Tucson. My first book was actually a book about the best day hikes on the Arizona National Scenic Trail. And that includes 30 hikes all along the Arizona Trail up and down the state. But Urban Trails Tucson is 47 hikes within an hour of Tucson.
Wow. Yeah. And I first saw the book not too long ago in the Southern Arizona Heritage and Visitor Center. And the folks behind the gift shop counter were so enthusiastic about showing me this book. And, so I spent about 5 minutes or so asking about, and then lo and behold, when we got on the phone, we had met before back in your days with the Arizona Office of Tourism?
Yeah, I had done some work with the Arizona Office of Tourism, and I presented at the Governor's Conference on Tourism, and I believe that's when we met.
Yes, of course, I was familiar with that Steve Anderson book, which is, still, I think, a good book to read because it talks about a lot about the beginnings of the trails. But you got to almost have two books in front of you. You got to have Steve's and you got to have Serena's, and it's kind of one of those, what's old is still important, but what's new is really good to read about. And I want to talk a little bit. We got about 3 minutes to the next break. Mm-hmm. And then we'll talk about your Trails Inspire, the consulting service that you've started, which is very important. But let's talk a little bit about the history of the loop before it was called the Chuck Huckleberry Loop, because somewhere in my mind, I'm remembering that there were pieces of this and the city of Tucson was involved, but then all of a sudden Mr. Huckleberry got really excited about this project, and lo and behold, over, I don't know what it is now, 130 miles or whatever it is, but tell us a little bit about that story.
Yeah, so the loop is such an interesting story because, it was born out of the horrible floods that happened in 1983, where the banks of the Rito washed away, the Santa Cruz, there was, you know, major damage, there was death. So Pima County decided that they were going to shore up the sides and with a, you know, make the sides concrete mix that wouldn't wash away. And then they noticed that people were walking the tracks of it.
That's right.
And so so it developed into this incredible project. And one of the really neat projects that I've been involved in is in 2018, when the loop was nearing completion, I did a five-day, 80-mile through hike of all of the river walks and greenways with my friend Liz Thomas, and we partnered with Pima County. And then along the way, we interviewed all of the different folks that were involved in it. So we involved people that were archaeologists, artists, the people from the Water Reclamation District. So it was really neat to see how all of these different factions came together to create this amazing recreational opportunity. And I think the fact that it does not go, generally doesn't cross streets at all, is such a, you know, it's such a wonderful thing, because Tucson traffic can be kind of scary. So it's a really nice, safe way for folks to get out and have a nice walk or ride. And, you know, it's so accessible to most people in town, live within, like, you know, 10 to 15 minutes of a piece of the loop.
Now, I, you know, am definitely one of those folks that I used to ride bikes up until maybe 45, 50. I would ride a bike when we would go on a vacation. And sorry about that, a little technical difficulty. Uh-huh. And we were able to, so when I went to go on vacation, we would rent bikes. This was before electric bikes. And mm-hmm. It was good. I determined that I was a little bit out of shape. But we're going to learn more about that, because the producer is telling me it's almost time for a break. And we want to avoid any of those news jumping in on us again. We're here with Serena Rana and Tim Vimmerstedt. And Tim, when you come back, you're going to tell us about your favorite hiking trail as well. This is The Morning Voice, and I'm Tom Moulton, your host, and we're on KVOI 1030 AM, The Voice. Well, we're back, and thank you, Matt, for playing all these wonderful tunes. And where did that little news thing come from? That kind of just popped out of nowhere, didn't it?
Well, I'd like to say it was a gremlin in the system, but it was your humble producer.
Well, Matt's been on vacation, so welcome back, Matt. But we're on the radio this morning with Serena Rana, and she's a wonderful author and hiking enthusiast. And her new book is called Urban Trails, Tucson. And I see on the website that you are actually out and about in the community and talking about your book.
Yes, I've been on a book tour. And, you know, talking about Steve Anderson, a bunch of his family members and Amy Anderson came on my last event. It was so precious. They came. I actually did a walk on the Turquoise Trail on Friday in partnership with the Southern Arizona Heritage and Visitor Center and Visit Tucson. And I was just so thrilled to see that they showed up. And I got the best compliment, you know, just the other day from Amy, because she had gotten a book and she said that Steve would have had tears in his eyes with, you know, how wonderful my book portrayed the trails of Pima County. So
well,
that was really...
it's a good thing it's radio, because I have tears in my eyes right now about hearing about that story. Steve was a very unique individual. He's no longer with us. You've probably gathered that. And, you know, kind of a tragic story. But we have lots of love and thoughts for Steve Anderson out there. And it's so nice for you to share with us that Amy was on that hike. And you know, I have not seen her for probably ever since Steve passed away. But the Urban Trails Tucson is features 47 different hiking trails. Is that correct?
Yep, and it's about within an hour range of Tucson.
Wow.
And my goal with this book was really to for anybody to be able to go and walk outside. That it's as simple as that. Like, you don't have to be like some, you know, super fit. You know, a lot of the hiking books that exist for Tucson, they're like, hike 4,000 feet of elevation gain and 12 miles up in the Catalina Mountains, right?
Walk up Mount Lemon, or what's Tumamoc, right? Oh my gosh, right, right. That is scary hike for me.
So I wanted to give people something that, you know, if they had a couple hours in the afternoon, or, you know, wanted to go for a nice walk, if they want to go for a hike, each hike does have information on if this is, you know, if you'd like to go farther, this is how you do it. But one of the things that was really important to me was to make them, you know, accessible to just about anybody. And I've also included a desert hiking guide because, like I said, I'm from the Chicago suburbs, and I remember what it was like when I first came here, and everything was pretty intimidating. The water, the, you know, animals, like how do you keep yourself safe? How do you find yourself on the trail and things like that? And so basically when I write my books and things like that, I write it for the Serena that came to Arizona in 1994 and didn't know anything, you know? And so how do we keep that person safe and happy on the trail?
Well, again, as you mentioned, Steve Anderson would be very proud of you. So, Tim, you told me that you have a favorite hiking place.
It's been years since I've hiked it, but I grew up on the east side of Tucson, and at the end of Speedway, in the far east end of Speedway, it connects with Saguaro National Park, and there's the Douglas Springs Cowhead Saddle hike.
That's a beautiful one.
Are you familiar with that? Yeah, Serena?
Oh, yeah. So the book doesn't go quite that far to Cowhead Saddle. It stops at the falls, Bridalveil Falls. But I'm very familiar with that area. And that's the thing. It's like no matter what side of town you live on, you have amazing trails at your disposal.
Yeah, Tim, that's one of your favorite memories. Certainly one of mine was just kind of getting out at Old Tucson when I was a little bit stressed, and I would saddle up a horse and go and ride all around Tucson Mountain. There didn't seem to be, too many people doing what I was doing, but we did at that time have horseback rides in Tucson Mountain. And, I don't know if there's any, official horseback riding available in Tucson Mountain Park, Serena, but there are a lot of hiking trails, isn't there?
There's tons of hiking trails. And, not only Tucson Mountain Park, but I think that the Steve's legacy, again, is that there was all of these small parks that have been developed in recent years that aren't in any of the guidebooks, such as the Painted Hills Trail System, Enchanted Hills. There's been a lot of trail development in past years, and I think that that's one of the benefits of this book is that, then there's these little pocket parks like Feliz Paseos Park and Desert Haven, and, you know, there's just so many neat little spots no matter what part of town you live in, and I tried to make it so that there was, it was well spread out throughout town, so it wasn't just, hikes in one certain area, so that no matter what part of town you live in, there is something for you.
Yeah, we're obviously the Chuck Huckleberry Loop has been getting the most amount of attention, especially because of the rating from the USA Today, and its uniqueness that you don't have to worry about automobiles crashing into you, and it's a multi-use trail. Now, not all the trails are necessarily multi-use trails in the book, correct? There's a lot of trails where it's just you and the terrain and Mother Nature.
Yep. Yeah. And one example of that is the new trail system out at the Ameren Museum in the Texas Canyon Nature Preserve. That's hiking only, so you can just enjoy yourself. It's nice and quiet. You don't have to look behind you for bikes and things like that. But We have so many options here, and that's my goal, was to highlight those through my book.
Now, when I was a child, I had a mountain bike, and we would go out and find these little, anything that was an elevation from a little mountain or whatever, and do jumps. And we were pretty daring because we didn't have helmets on or anything mm-hmm. like that. But is there anything formally like that for a mountain bike riding that you're familiar with?
I know that there are things in development right now. I believe the 100-acre wood is one of them.
Okay.
But I'm definitely more of a feet on the ground than a wheels on the ground kind of person.
I understand that. But I had a little note here that was passed to me about, is there any mountain bike trails out there? But I think the child and all of us find places where we hope no one will see what we're doing, but we're enjoying ourselves.
No,
yes.
No, there's absolutely, and my book includes a matrix at the beginning that tells you if you can take, whether the trail is good for, if you can take dogs on it, if it's good for bikes, if it's good for kids. And so that's one of the things that's really helpful in the beginning of my book, is that you can look it up and see, is biking even allowed there? Are dogs allowed there? Because I know that, Tucson has quite a bit of rules regarding where you can take your dog. And so instead of like driving out to, whatever trailhead and then realizing that, oh, shoot, they don't allow dogs here. All of that information is provided in the front of the book, and then each chapter mentions whether or not it's suitable for children, dogs, and bikes.
Wonderful resource guide. Now, you talk about Trails Inspire that you are being involved in, and actually getting, I guess, more yourself out there more and. Where you can actually work with folks that are developing trails. Can you tell us a little bit about that initiative?
Sure. Trails Inspire promotes the outdoors through writing, trail design, photography, and public speaking. And one of my crown jewels of my projects has been the Texas Canyon Nature Preserve at the Ameren Museum. So if you're driving east on I-10 and you stop at the rest stop with all the cool boulders, and you look beyond and you say, oh, I wish I could hike that. Now you can. Since 2023, in October 2023, we opened up 7 miles of trail. And I was Trails Inspire and was the project manager. I helped design it with my mentor, Mark Flint, who is also a giant in the Pima County Trails community. And then Flagline Trails did an incredible job of building the trails. And we opened it up to the public in 2023. People absolutely love it. It's so incredible out there.
Well, we want to rush out and buy one of these books. Where do we go and get one?
You can get them at trailsinspire.com/books. So that's my website. And you can also get them at the Southern Arizona Heritage and Visitors Center, Summit Hut, and a lot of different places where books are sold. REI, I believe, carries it as well. Barnes & Noble.
Great.
Quite a few places around town. But if you want to get a signed copy, you can go to trailsinspire.com/books.
Well, we want to really thank you for being on the Morning Voice and to learn more and more about the trails. You certainly got to pick up the book. And the fond memories that both of us have of Steve Anderson and all of the hard work he did for the Pima County and communities, throughout Southern Arizona. I really want to say to you, we appreciate all of the work that you're doing out there. This is, Tucson is a hiking town. We invite our tourists to come here and enjoy all of our hiking trails, as well as, of course, the Chuck Huckleberry Loop. And hopefully you all will get a chance to meet Serena by going to one of her book signings, and she is just full of every bit of information that you need about getting out and enjoying the wonderful climate here in Pima County, Arizona. So thanks again, Serena, for joining us. What a pleasure to have you on the radio, and I hope to see you soon over at the Arizona Office of Tourism in the July event or somewhere in the community. Thank you again, Serena.
Awesome.
All righty,
thanks
good.
Thanks so much for having me.
Thank you,
all
Serena.
Right, bye.
This is the Morning Voice, and we'll be right back as we finish out this first hour. Well, good morning. This is the Morning Voice, and we are back on KVOI, 10:30 a.m. We have been talking with Serena Arana about all the hiking trails in Pima County, and we're certainly well-known for the award-winning Chuck Huckleberry Loop. We could probably go on for another hour, and we actually want to continue a little bit, Tim, and we have one of our favorite folks on the phone, Bunker, and he wants to share with us some of the information about that he has on hiking trails.
Go. All right. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning.
You were talking earlier about horsebacking in the Tucson Mountains, and up in the north end of the Tucson Mountains, where Rattlesnake Pass lies, there is a guest ranch, the White Stallion, and they have stables there, and they take their people out into the Tucson Mountains on the trail rides. And there was, I don't know if it's still in business, on the access road to the White Stallion, another stables that used to take people out there. That one, I'm not sure. I haven't seen any activity there lately, so I'm not sure. But it's a White Stallion. They're very hospitable. And if somebody's interested in going out and maybe doing a little horsebacking in the Tucson Mountains, they'll take you out there and they'll give you a wonderful time.
Well, thank you, Bunker. Tim, you had a wonderful experience at White Stallion, didn't you, sir?
I sure did. Just a fantastic facility. Great staff and great activities. It was just a wonderful weekend.
Yeah, and we just had, I guess it wasn't that long ago, the showcase for the attractions at White Stallion Ranch, and Russell True, I think he's up to 6 or 7 guest ranches. Of course, we call them dude ranches still, don't we, Bunker?
We do, and by now he's probably added another half dozen.
Yeah, well, in Wyoming, and I know that, and he has 2 others here, one at Tombstone, called Tombstone Monument Ranch. And then he has
down on the border.
That's right. I mean, literally, you could see the border from the ranch. 3 completely different dude ranches because of the environment that they're located in. And he's a good friend of the SAAA and a good friend to the tourism community. And we appreciate you bringing the information to us about Tucson Mountain Park because, I'm hoping one day Old Tucson will bring back the horseback, the rides along the base of the the peak out there and the fame. What's the name of that peak, Timmy? You remember? I always keep forgetting what it's called.
We used to call it Goldwyn.
Yeah, the Golden Peak, right? Yeah. So, going for horseback riding along the trails there was absolutely wonderful. So could Timmy talk a little bit with Bunker here, okay? And I'll be right back.
I will.
Hey, Tim, how are you?
I'm doing well, Bunker. How have you been?
Oh, I squeak by, a little squeak here, a little squeak there. But I just want to mention, I did 52 high chaparrals out there, which meant I got to do an extensive amount of riding up there in that area. And I agree with Tom. That is such a wonderful area to ride. It's good terrain, safe. I wish they would. It would be a wonderful gift to the area.
I couldn't agree with you more. It's just a beautiful part of Tucson.
That's part of it. It's one of the things for me is a sad part just because I'm old enough to remember, when there was more dude ranches and there was more people proud enough to wear a cowboy hat downtown. If you see a cowboy hat downtown, and you know he's from out of town.
Right, yeah.
Well, Bunker, we appreciate you calling in, and we're going to, if anybody else would like us to tell us a hiking story, call us in about 5 minutes at, Matt, what are they calling? And we can talk a little bit about your favorite hiking trail.
520-790-2040 is the call-in number, 520-790-2040.
All right, thank you, Bunker, for calling. It's always a pleasure to hear from you. Now thank we're gonna move on to what was just a wonderful group, and we're going to be back with Bob Stewart at, let's see, we're going to be back a little bit at 8:03.
Right after the news, Tom.
Well, we're back, and thank you for joining us. The first hour, we had really a wonderful talk with Serena Rana about all of the different hiking trails here in southern Arizona. We even got to hear about Tim Vimmerstedt's favorite hiking trail. So we thank you, Tim, for sharing that information.
Of course.
All right, so we're back, and we wanted to talk a little bit about what happened yesterday. It was the 27th annual celebration of the Southern Arizona Attractions Alliance for 27 years. This nonprofit organization has been around, and our mission, really simple, is to help the attractions here inspire as much as we can to help them grow. And I think all of you folks that are probably listening to this morning would know and understand that we probably have one of the largest collection of unique attractions. One of those unique attractions is the Tucson Rodeo Parade. And we honored a longtime member of the Rodeo Parade, Bob Stewart. Good morning, Bob.
Good morning, Tom. How are you?
Great. It's so great to hear your voice again. Bob was honored yesterday at a morning brunch brought to you by Visit Tucson and the University of Arizona. And we kicked the whole thing off with a good friend of ours, recently reacquainted with Bob at the 100th anniversary of the Tucson Rodeo Parade back in February. And there was Bob with your cowboy hat on and your official rodeo shirt. And it was so wonderful seeing you. And we have pictures to prove that we were both there.
Well, that's a good thing, Tom, because I was grateful to be there.
Well, we were grateful to have you, and so every once in a while, we send out a special message to the folks that have been a big part of the growth of the Southern Arizona Attractions Alliance, and we have two of them on the radio this morning, Tim Vimmerstedt and Bob Stewart. And Bob, we for many, many years called you Parade Bob. And that was, I hope you took that as an honor.
I certainly did. And that's, yeah, that's something that came from my email address pretty much, Tom. But it worked appropriately. And, yeah, I've been Parade Bob to a lot of people, and I'll continue to be as long as I can. Okay?
Well, we hope that's for many, many years. Now, Parade Bob was a past president of the Southern Arizona Attractions Alliance, and we grew under your leadership for sure. And but I remember seeing Bob, who really talking about Western heritage wherever you would go, Bob, and you would back it up with an historical wagon, and most likely, and you heard me say, Bob picked it out for you. He loaded it on the trailer for you. He delivered it to you, and he probably told you a story about that wagon, because there's a lot of wagons in the Tucson Wagon and History Museum. I don't know how many wagons are in there, Bob, but there's certainly a heck of a lot of them.
Well, Tom, you know, I was the chairman of that museum part of the Rodeo Parade Committee for years. And I relinquished it to the newer, younger people finally a few years ago. And they're really kicking it up even higher than I could have. But, yeah, we have in that collection there, we have, as far as I know, about 170 different pieces of rolling stock that would have been horse-drawn or, in some cases, donkey-drawn. In some cases, even dog-drawn, because we have some small ones. But, yeah, it's a big variety of things. And, of course, you don't see them all in the parade. So they're on exhibit at the museum and during museum hours. But the pieces that are in the parade are generally a little larger, the kind that can carry two or more people. And that's what people want, you know, to be in the parade, which makes sense.
Yeah, so we should say that the museum is currently closed right now because when it's very warm out, it's very warm in the museum. However, if you want to get a special tour, I'm sure Stan Martin, who I think he has 1 week left, Bob, of being the committee there, and he's going to be the committee chair of the entire rodeo parade. So he's a great man and great gentleman of the museum, and you can just call. And Bob, I don't know if you remember the phone number of the museum where they could call Stan, or I can find that out after the break.
Well, actually, you can call the museum at 520-294-3636.
And I see that you remember it. Now, real quickly, Bob was honored with the Founders Award. I think we've only given that award out. Started with the 20th anniversary. That would have been 7 years ago, where we had the founder, Colonel Ed Harrell, was there. And Bob Edison was there. And Pat Tierney was there. And I was there, the only one we were missing was Sherry Bang from the Tucson Museum of Art, which was also a co-founder, as well. Uh-huh. And what a great, anniversary that was for, you know, no one, when we started this thing back in 1998, did we ever imagine that it was going to be around for 20 years, but Colonel Harrell was with us. And we really enjoyed his keynote address, and the first Founders Award went to Catherine Strickland, and I couldn't think of a more deserving person. Could you, Bob?
No, she is terrific. She's always been terrific, and she'll continue to be as long as she's active, okay?
Well, she's now married to a lucky fireman, a captain here in the city of Tucson, and she's still working there at Pima County and helping out all of the attractions within Pima County, and we really appreciate. And she was at the event yesterday.
Yep.
And she was obviously there to celebrate another fellow founder, Bob. And we made you a lifetime member. So that means that, you know, when we do the 30th anniversary, you're going to be there and hopefully cheering along with all of us for another 10 years.
Well, let's hope that happens, Tom. And yeah, I'm all for it. and to see you. As I said yesterday, the real driver in this organization has been you, and your work is never ending. I mean, frankly, you've done such a great job for that organization, and the organization has grown, which is absolutely fantastic to see. I mean, I know back when I was in charge of the SAAA, as president, we had some growth, and it was good. But I just see it keep developing and developing and growing and growing, and that's a terrific thing. And it's been done through the membership being active. It's been done with the help of visit Tucson. It's been done with the help of the people in the organization, but it's largely been driven by you.
Well, you're so kind, Bob, and I got a little bit tearful yesterday when you were talking about that. That's it's been fun, working with you. You really were a big supporter of Old Tucson. The reason why I came to Tucson to be their general manager, and without you, I mean, it would just be a bunch of buildings out there, and you brought it to life for us.
Well, we just try to work with all the organizations and Old Tucson, the Tucson Rodeo Parade. They're just all Western heritage, and that was my big driver. I mean, it goes back to when I first started. Actually, it was last century. It's been that long ago now. Working with the Rodeo Parade Committee, we had a little museum, but I wanted to see personal growth in that museum. And we've been lucky. We caught on to the Antiques Roadshow, the PBS thing, in the year 2000. I believe it was 2001 or 2. They came in and filmed us, and that was really, for us, one of the first jumping points into notoriety and publicity. And I still had a ball putting that program on with those folks, but we got to show some of our things to the world. Well, and that was a huge thing for us. And from there on, we hooked up with the SAAA back in those early years. And I could just see that was where we needed to be, working with other people, sharing common interests. We all had one basic goal, and that was to get as many people as we could into our organizations.
Well, we did, Bob, and you were a big part of it. And I wanted to thank you for all of your service, and thank you for being a big part of the SAAA. It was great seeing you and honoring you yesterday. You're a lifetime member now, so we hope to see a lot of you. Bob, thank you again, and really appreciate you at the meeting and calling in today. And for all of you folks out there, Parade Bob, I think when you get old, you call yourself, you're an institution. And let me just tell you, there are many businesses that fail when you fail to give respect to your institutions. And Bob, we really thank you for being the institution. I say that with a kind heart. Bob, and I saw your wife yesterday, and what a great couple after all these years. So thank you, Bob, for everything you do, and we'll be right back with the Morning Voice. Okay, bye-bye, Bob. Well, welcome back. This is the Morning Voice with your host, Tom Moulton, and I'm with the Southern Arizona Attractions Alliance, and we just got off the phone with Bob Stewart. He was the honoree of the entire show, quite frankly, with him getting the Founders Award as well as being awarded the Lifetime Member of the SAAA. Tim, I'm sorry you missed it, but it was a great show.
Yeah, it was so nice hearing Bob's voice. It's been decades since we've spoken, so congratulations to him and well-deserved awards.
Well, the Tucson Rodeo Parade Committee is just a wonderful group of volunteers. They actually put on the parade for now 100 years, and nobody's really paid staff other than the lovely secretary that's behind the admin side and, collects the money and gets the word out and communicates with everybody. But the entire group over there is dedicated community leaders and all volunteers. And just as the Tucson Rodeo also celebrated its 100th anniversary with the recent Tucson Rodeo.
Well, Tom, and if you think about it, these volunteers are making sure a legacy of the Southwest, an important part of the Southwest and an important part of Tucson, stays alive for future generations. I know that's a big deal with Bunker. He called in earlier, but that's why he works at the Empire Ranch. You know, you've got to keep our history. You've got to keep people from forgetting about our history.
Well, absolutely, Matt. Thank you for sharing that, because we would have never reached the 100th anniversary
right.
of any of these wonderful. That it's part of our fabric here.
And our guy Layton, he just wanted to raise some money for his polo team. Remember,
yeah, that was it.
It was great having his family members, and I'm sure it was special to his family that here we are a century later, and he is remembered, and we got his family members here to see to get some gratitude from the city for what he started so long ago.
Yeah, so what Matt's talking about is the folks that started the Tucson Rodeo Parade back 100 years ago.
Correct.
And there was, I think, 7 or 8 of the family was at the parade.
That's right.
And they were honored, of course, and well deserved. And I think all of them got a brand new cowboy hat, or maybe one did, but they all look pretty smart there.
Yeah,
the SAAA had a wagon in the parade as well. We had what they wanted to me to show you yesterday was me on a horse dressed as the mayor of old Tucson, about 40 pounds lighter.
Okay.
the horse enjoyed that. but happy memories. I think somebody asked me yesterday how many parades I've been in. So I've been in town since 1997. I was in my first parade in 1998. And I think I've only missed one parade since that, and I was ashamed that we missed it, because we had this really wonderful wagon that probably housed about 15 people could get in this wagon, and it had a cover and everything. And one year I gave up that wagon, and it was stolen away, and it's never going to come back to the SAAA. But we have a great wagon. We were on an old school bus from the 1880s, and it was built in Indiana of all places, and then found its way.
Might have been the Studebaker factory, because they made some carriages.
Were they in Indiana then, huh?
Studebaker is in South Bend.
Yeah.
They have a wonderful museum there, by the way.
Well,
you're in a museum, so, yeah.
It very well could have been that, because it held 8 adults and probably 15 children on this wagon, and it had to be pulled by 2 horses, and it was a wonderful reconstructed. Renovated, I should say, wagon that the Parade Museum and its folks do a lot of renovation of their wagons. As Bob said, over 170. I'm sure Stan Martin, if he's listening, he'll probably call in. No, we have 180. But you know, it's quite it's come along a long way. The city of Tucson owns the building, and they have helped the Rodeo Parade continue to manage that building. And that building goes all the way back, I believe, to when the that used to be the airport. One of the first regional airports in the United States was right there at the rodeo grounds. You knew that, Matt, didn't
oh,
you?
Oh, wow, okay.
Yeah, I mean, we all learn. Hey, folks.
Oh, it was. I've seen it on the map. I've actually seen it on an old map. Yes, indeed.
Well,
at Irvington and 6th.
Tune in the Morning Voice, and you always learn something new.
And so
you,
I know,
Matt?
You're going to have some more guests from your Southern Arizona Attractions Association event last night. But I would imagine that you saw a lot of people, and a lot of people get together that we've heard on this show over the last year and a half on Thursdays.
Yeah, so we've heard Scott Darledge from Strolls and Stories. He could not call in at 8:15 because he is on a tour. So he's done extremely well. He gives a lot of credit to the Southern Arizona Attractions Alliance, where he's met a lot of people. Every year we have this showcase where we bring in all of these meeting planners and concierge and anybody that sells Tucson. We bring them here. We brought them to the White Stallion Ranch, who put on a great show for them. And Scott, from the hotel industry, really knows the concept of customer service. So he was there, and he got maybe four or five new clients. And then we went to Voyager, where they have seminars and workshops and stuff like that. So the SAAA put on one of those for their residents. And then we went to Quail Creek, and they have a travel club. And 190 people showed up for my talk on the attractions. And my goodness gracious, we would have never thought they had, but you know, the very, very popular 50 plus neighborhood in the Green Valley, Sahuarita area. And 190 people showed up to hear about the attractions. And I think the last one I want to mention was Voyager put on two, shows where they invite all their residents. And the first one, we had all the attractions there, and we brought, they got to learn about the attractions, and we sold the Tucson attractions passport, and everybody enjoyed it. But then, actually, I was there three times. We were invited back to the B2B show, where all of the vendors were there, so the vendors got to learn about the attractions. And then the very last time we were there, we actually put on a show for the residents utilizing the Unscrewed Theater.
Sure, and familiar with them. Improv.
Yes, and we designed some things that were going on, and it was a wonderful presentation. And Scott was there as well, and with Strolls and Stories, and because we created stories about all the attractions here.
So who are we talking to after the break, Tom? Katie, is that right? After the break?
We hope Katie comes on the phone.
And she's going to be with, so they know to tune in.
All right. Well, we're back, and this is the Morning Voice, whatever that word was. And I'm your host, and I'm so glad to be back. And we got just a few moments to talk to Scott because he's on for a tour. Good morning, Scott.
Hey, how's it going, Tom?
I'm so grateful that you called in because I know you're headed for a tour this morning. But we're talking about the award recipients from yesterday, and I didn't want it to go unannounced that the person that's on the radio right now, Scott Darlage, was able to win the Star Award, which is given by the president of the organization, because Scott is an up and coming member of the SAAA, and all the wonderful things that you have done and the way you've grown your business, and we're so grateful that you were able to accept the award yesterday.
Yeah, it was great to be there, and you know, it's always exciting to be recognized, and yeah, I really enjoy the connections that I've been able to make networking in at the Southern Arizona Attractions Alliance. I've been able to, you know, pick up business and work with several of the members, narrating tour groups that they have in town and offering guided walking tours to them, and, you know, sharing the fascinating stories and interesting tidbits of Tucson history. So, yeah, it's been a great organization to get involved with, and really enjoyed the connections that I've made. So, you know, being able to win the award was, you know, just unexpected and a great thrill.
Well, you're one of our upcoming stars, and we just got off the phone with Bob Stewart. So that was probably the first time you met Bob. What an inspiration for all of us.
Oh, yeah. Fascinating story, and it's always great to hear how, you know, people have grown attractions here in town. And to see the growth of Tucson as a destination over the years. But, you know, a lot of people who live here in Tucson, I think, don't maybe realize just how big the tourism industry is here and just how special The attractions are, we have people that come here from all over the world to experience the unique Sonoran Desert, both the plant life, but also our history that spans, 4,000 years of Native American history and our Spanish colonial founding. And so it's just a really special place. And it's always great to hear how, you know, the pioneers of the tourism business have, built these attractions into what they are today. So,
well, thank you for doing the tours. And, you know, Scott's been on our show two times. And actually, I think your show has aired actually three times, because when I was out of town, we picked one of the best shows that we've had, and it was your show, Scott.
Hey, so, that's great. I love it.
Well, you've
I have good stories, good historic stories to share.
Well, before you got on the phone, I know you got to go, but we talked a little bit about our Unscrewed Theater experience at the Voyager.
Oh, yeah.
And you and I, you know, we had a lot of discussions before that, but because Unscrewed Theater is impromptu,
sure,
we kind of made it up along the way, and I think you did a good job that day.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. I think they enjoyed the historic stories, and then they were able to put their own take on that in an improv way, and you know, the stories took a life of their own on that piece, but using the historic stories of Tucson's history as inspiration. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. You know, there's all kinds of things that you can do with history and theater and acting and improv. So, yeah, you know, there's just all kinds of great experiences here in Tucson that you can do.
Well, thank you, Scott. And you're truly one of our up-and-coming leaders, and we enjoy working with you. And actually, Scott is accepted the position of the membership committee, so chair. So if you are an attraction and you're listening, or you think you're an attraction, Scott and I would love to meet with you. So, Scott, thank you, and I'll let you have a great tour at 9 o'clock today.
Hey, thanks.
All right, take care.
I'm about to go share some historic stories.
All right, see you later.
Have a good one.
All right, bye-bye.
Thanks.
All right. Well, that was Scott Darledge. He was the winner of the President's Star Award for upcoming star. A lot of folks over the years have, especially in the first two or three years of membership, just stand out. And Scott was one of them. And again, he's our favorite here on The Morning Voice. And he talks all about the history of the folks. And, of course, you know, as you know, a lot of people say, it's not about the location, it's about the people. And that's what happens at these attractions with the docents and the volunteers, whether you're at the Desert Museum or a P-Mirror in Space, the Botanical Gardens. You want to interact with the staff. And they're trained to interact with you. And they're actually chosen because of their ability to want to reach out and show people a good time. And, of course, at the same time, educate. Timmy, we're going to go to break, but in a little bit. We wanted to we forgot in this hour to talk about these upcoming festivals. And I think, Matt, we got a few minutes there where we
sure
can kind of
yeah.
get that in. Timmy, you got your sheet there in front of you, and if you could share with us the folks that are on the 8 o'clock hour, your favorite events coming up this weekend and a little bit beyond.
Absolutely. Yeah, we've got as our top event, the Pima County Fair, starting today, I think at 3 p.m.
You're correct.
Running through the 27th, which free concerts with admission every night. Obviously, lots of rides. We've got a rodeo. We've got wild rides, but they also have a kiddie land. And my favorite part, the fair food.
Yes, the fried Oreo. I think I told that story before where they tried this new fry product. And they took a single layer Oreo, and it just didn't work, because as soon as it hit that fryer, all of that sugar just completely melted. So, of course, in my spirit of wanting to help, you know, improve the product, I gave them a double Oreo cookie, which is what I eat at home. And by the way, there was still some left of that sugar coating, and I hope I helped increase their sales. Maybe when I go visit with them this year, I'll get my check.
Gentlemen, Tom, Tim, I will tell you, I saw in the paper, and I am not endorsing anybody trying this. I don't know if they have it at the Pima County Fair. Now the thing is fried ranch dressing, which to me just sounds like some sort of an abomination. But I did see that somewhere in a fair they were offering that.
I'll probably skip that.
Going to pass that one?
Yeah. Well, between the corn dogs and the kettle corn and the fried dough, Indian fried dough bread.
Sure.
You know, the calorie content goes out of control from the 17th through the 27th.
Can you let the folks know where they can find the Southern Arizona Attractions tent at the Pima County Fair for this next couple of weeks?
Yeah, we're back at Thurber Hall.
Thurber Hall, all right.
Which is, you go in through the front entrance, you turn left, and that's where a lot of the booths are outside, but we're indoors. We got swamp coolers today. They're probably going to freeze today.
Sure.
Hopefully they've turned the swamp coolers off. But we're out of the wind, you know, and this is what happens with the fair. When there's a heavy wind, it gets very, very dusty out there, and they generally don't do as well because wind here in Arizona is like rain. Nobody likes to eat the dust, but we'll see. It's the opening day. You know, the show must go on, and we'll be at booth 51 and 52. We have a double booth, and the reason why we have a double booth is because we're helping celebrate the grand opening of the Tucson Auto Museum.
Sweet.
Yeah, they're at the old Hidden Valley Inn restaurant.
Sabino Canyon, just north of Snyder.
That's right. Thank you.
And it's very nice. I did a little preview tour with your compadre over there.
With
very nice man.
With Otten Suarez, yes.
And got a little preview event. I'd seen it when it was over near 22nd in Keno. It's a great museum. It's well worth your visit. And the new layout at the Hidden Valley Inn, former erstwhile Hidden Valley Inn, thank you, is very nice. So I think it's well worth a visit.
Yeah, it's almost doubled in size, and over 80 cars. And we'll have one of the little miniature cars. I'll tell you the story about this car next week, because we're going to be live from the Pima County Fair.
Oh, super. That's right.
I get to hang out in Central Park, and people come to me to tell me more about what they're doing at the fair. And that's always fun. I don't think we're going to... Maybe we'll go on one ride and you get to hear me scream live.
Well, there you go.
On KVOI. But Tim, we got to go to break.
You must be this tall to enter the ride.
Absolutely. So, and and they measure by the width now. They don't measure by the height, so I'm on everything.
And Tim, I know you're a car guy. Tom, you're a car, because we're guys. I mean, but I know you guys are car guys. We have a great abundance. We got the Tucson Auto Museum. Now we've got this Rolling Through Time Auto Museum on Park, just north of Irvington. Well worth a visit. Franklin Museum, also well worth a visit. So suddenly Tucson's got some really neat things for car buffs.
Yeah, and we're going to have a meeting with all three of them about doing an auto show ticket where you want to go to one of the auto museums. You're going to be able to do that with one ticket. So we'll see how it's going to go. We're going to meet with Franklin first, and then we'll meet with the Tucson Auto Museum, and then hopefully we can put the Tucson Auto Tour on your to-do list.
There you go.
We're going to go to break, and this is The Morning Voice, and I'm Tom Moulton, and your host, and we'll be right back on KVY 10:30 a.m., The Voice. Well, we're back. Tom Moulton, and you're listening to The Morning Voice, and we've had a great show. Started out with all the wonderful hiking trails and learned from the expert, Serena Rana, and she's got a great new book coming out. It's already out and available on Urban Trail. So 47 different trails she reviews in her book. We We also are now talking and have been with the folks that were at the Southern Arizona 27th annual celebration and awards meeting, and we've been having a great time with some of the key award folks. I have to say that besides Bob, the other star of the show was Craig Giovanni. Now, Craig Giovanni, we had a wonderful interview with him and the new executive director of the Arizona Sonoran Desert Museum, and we honored Craig Giovanni with the David J. Nivison Award, which is our top award for the leader that really has taken their attraction to the next level as far as tourism marketing, and also not to mention their product. And the Desert Museum is so many different things to different people, their educational program, their art museum, the zoo, certainly featuring all the animals from the Sonoran Desert. And so Craig Giovanni gave us a wonderful keynote address celebrating his career of over 40 years at the Desert Museum. We learned a lot of things about Craig, about how he was an expert in reptiles, but he really didn't necessarily like reptiles. He thought they were creepy. And he got to love them and enjoy them. And so that was a great part of the award celebration, giving that to Craig. And he was very thankful. And then the rodeo parade people came out of nowhere and gave him a rodeo parade cowboy hat. So that really made his day. He was there with Rachel, his wife, and there a little secret, Rachel knew about the cowboy hat. Oh, I guess it's not a secret anymore. Because we needed his hat size. So, a big celebration and honoring the SAAA for 27 years. And we hope that they're going to be around for another 10 years. I hope I'm still hanging around at when they turn 30 years old, because we had great inspiration from the founder, Ed Harrow, Colonel Harrow, I should say, when he was gave us the keynote address at the 20th anniversary, where we had all of the founders there, which was exciting. Unfortunately, Colonel Harrell passed away. A lot of it was due to what was going on with COVID, and he was a cancer survivor, and we really miss Ed not being at these meetings, because he was truly an inspiration, a true hero. From Vietnam. Hey Tim, are you still? You're still there, right?
I'm here.
Well, we're about ready to wrap this up, and we're hopefully you'll be joining us, not necessarily in person, but virtually, from the Pima County Fair next week. We're going to be there live. We're going to give the special equipment one more shot, Matt, right, and making sure it works.
There you go. And the fair is, as you said, it starts today. It runs through the 27th.
Yes, and we'll be there at booth number 51 and 52. If you want to learn more about the attractions, I think we're giving away a coupon for the Tucson Attractions Passport. I think we're going to do either $9 or $10 off the regular price, so it's a great savings, because you still got a half of April and May, June, July, August, September, October, November, and December to use your Tucson Attractions Savings Passport. So you can come out to the fair and come to the booth and get some big savings. So we had a great time today, and this has been Tom Moulton, and I'm your host for the Morning Voice, and we'll see you next week. But don't forget, Dr. Ackerley is on tomorrow at 9 o'clock with a whole nother set of wonderful interviews from the folks from the U of A. So We're happy to have you join us today, and this is The Morning Voice on KVOI 1030 AM, and we will see you next week.